man who had preached many, many times, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The man who had healed the sick and given sight to the blind and made the lame to walk and silenced the wind and the sea and cast out demons and even raised the dead. Surely he was the Messiah of Israel, the long-awaited king, who would cast off their enemies, who would restore the glory of Israel and the Davidic kingdom. This was, in fact, the man who just a week earlier had been welcomed into Jerusalem by the multitudes, hundreds, thousands of people, as the King of the Jews. And yet, how the tables had turned. Arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. Tried and convicted by Pilate, the Roman governor. Denied by his own. Crucified between two common criminals. Dead and buried. All hope dashed. All hope crushed. But then, on Sunday morning, an earthquake, the resurrection of many deceased saints, the stone at the tomb rolled back, an angel asking, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" The glorious declaration, "He is not here. He is alive." The women at the tomb, the appearance to Mary, and then to Peter, and then to the apostles, and to more of his disciples, and then to over 500 people over a period of 40 days who testify that Jesus is alive. Death could not keep him. Christ has triumphed and is crowned king forever. Now this morning, we sing a song that we introduced last week. The song is called Christus Victor. That's a Latin phrase, a Latin title. It simply means Christ the Victor or Christ Victorious. And these are some of the lyrics that we sang. O Most High, King of the ages, great I am, God of wonders. By your blood you have redeemed us, led us through mighty waters, our strength, our song, our sure salvation. Now to the Lamb upon the throne, be blessing, honor, glory, power, for the battle you have won. O Most High, King of the nation, robed in praise, crowned with splendor. On that day, who will not tremble when you stand, Christ the Victor? I'd like to take just a few moments with you to think about this morning. Christus Victorus, victorious Christ. Christ the Victor. In Genesis chapter 3, after Adam and Eve fell from grace into rebellion, sin, death, God gave the world over to Satan as his dominion. But on that day, he made a promise. He made a promise to Adam and Eve, but he also made a promise to Satan that one day he would undo the curse that Adam and Eve had inflicted upon all humanity and upon all of this world and the entire universe. And one day, he would reverse the effects of the fall and restore paradise. He told Satan, "I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. And yes, you shall bruise his heel, but he shall crush your head." And this, you see, was a promise of Christus Victor, the one who came to defeat Satan, to crush sin and death, and to restore human beings to holiness and to a perfect relationship with their Creator. And so what is it that Christus Victor has accomplished through His death and resurrection? What in fact is His victory? Well, as I've already said, first, Christ has defeated Satan. Satan is not just a symbol. Satan is not just an idea representing evil. He is a real being. He is a powerful being with great power and great authority in this world. He is a fallen angel, the first, in fact, among God's creation, who in his pride lusted after divine power, divine authority. He sought to usurp God, but was cast down. And today, he is ruling as the prince of the power of the air, Paul says in Ephesians 2:2, and as the god of this world in 2 Corinthians 4:4. This world is his domain. And this is where he prowls around as a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. But in Christ Jesus, his hold on this world has already been broken. Yes, he exercises real power and real authority over those who belong to him. And yet, there are millions and billions of people who have been freed from his power and rescued from his kingdom of darkness and have been brought already into the kingdom of light through faith in the Lord Jesus. At the cross and at the open tomb, Jesus defeated Satan and his host. Second, Christus Victor means that Jesus defeated sin and death, both the power and the penalty of sin. Sin is a moral offense against a holy God. It is a violation of His character and of His holy law, which brings condemnation and punishment. It is falling short and missing the mark of holiness. But in the garden, when Adam and Eve sinned by acting on their own wicked desires to be like God, when they did that, they introduced sin and death into the world. Death is the penalty for sin. And it is the evidence that all sin, because all die. God warned Adam and Eve, "In the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in that day you shall surely die." Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. And Hebrews 9:27 says it is appointed to man to die once, and after that comes judgment. Ever since Adam disobeyed the Lord, death has reigned supreme, holding human beings captive. Captive to fear, captive to sorrow. But in Colossians 2:13, the Apostle Paul declares this. He says, "And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Christ, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross." My friends, Christus Victor has defeated death. Christus Victor has defeated sin. And in doing so, has made forgiveness and reconciliation with God and eternal life available to all who will surrender their lives to Jesus by faith. When Peter preached his great sermon on Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus' death, the people, it says in Acts chapter 2, were cut to the heart. And they asked him, "What must we do to be saved from God's wrath? What must we do to be saved, to be delivered from sin and death? And Peter's reply was simply, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. That is, for everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Himself. This good news, beloved, that Jesus triumphed over sin and death is for you. And it's for your children and your grandchildren and for all who are far off. And it's for all people, because God desires that no one should be lost and that all should come to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And third, Christus Victor means that Jesus has defeated our shame and our guilt. Colossians 2:14, the passage I previously quoted, I want to remind you of what it says again. It says, God made us alive together with Christ by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands by nailing it to the cross. And Paul is speaking here of the law, the moral law, the written law, that law which can only bring conviction and can never bring salvation or redemption. And this is why no one can be saved. No one can ever be made right with God through religion or through their own efforts or through their own good works of righteousness. Galatians 3:10 says, for all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. And this verse is saying that any attempt to please God by our own works, by our own efforts, by our own good deeds, are futile, useless, worthless. There are so many people, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, the people around us, so many people who think, when they think of God's love and justice, they think in the terms of the scales of justice, right? We're all familiar with that picture of Lady Justice holding the scales in her hands, and that's how we think so often about God's justice. And in those scales, God puts all of our good deeds on one side there. All of our good works, all of our religious practices, that goes on one side of the scale. And then God puts all of our failures and our sin and our shortcomings and the wrong things that we do on the opposite side of the scale. And whichever one tips the balances, well, that determines whether we go to heaven or to hell. But you see, friends, the New Testament teaches something entirely different that is foreign to the Bible and to God's plan of redemption. There is no scale. There is no weighing out of good and evil. God's law doesn't work both for us and against us. No, it reveals our sins and it seals our condemnation. We are all guilty in God's eyes. We are all wicked. We are all rebels. And no amount of good works can ever change that. In John chapter 3, Jesus said, I did not come into the world to condemn the world. No, he didn't, because the world already stands condemned. Jesus didn't need to do that. What he said is, God sent his Son, God sent me into the world that the world might be saved through me. That's why I came. Saved not only from the guilt of our sin, but from the shame of our sin and the sorrow of our sin and the brokenness of our sin. You see, friends, Christus Victor means freedom. Freedom from sorrow. Freedom from shame. Freedom from addictions. Freedom from hate. Freedom from a guilty conscience. Freedom from broken relationships. Freedom from bitterness, jealousy, anger. Freedom from anxiety. Freedom from fear, the fear of man, the fear of failure, the fear of death. And not only does it mean freedom from something, it also means freedom to something. You see, Christus Victor also means freedom to love, freedom to forgive, freedom to live fully, freedom to know God and be fully known, freedom to walk daily in light of God's love and approval. And so Paul writes in Galatians 5:1, "For freedom Christ has set us free." That's the good news of the gospel. That's the meaning of the open tomb that Sunday morning, that resurrection morning. It's freedom in Christ. Christ is the victor. He has won over all of the things that oppress us, over sin, over death, over Satan, over guilt, and over shame. My friend, if you're here this morning and you've never put your trust personally, individually, in the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe you've been really trying just to be a good person. Maybe you've just really been trying to be religious enough. If you just go to church often enough, if you do the right things, maybe you're just counting on the fact that, generally speaking, you're a really nice person and that you do good things and that you help people out. My friend, if that's you, then the Scripture testifies that you are still a captive. You are still in your sin. And you are still a captive to Satan and to sin and to death and to guilt and to shame. But Christ Jesus, Christus Victor, He came to set you free. He came, He said, to set the captives free. And so, this resurrection Sunday, the open tomb that we remember, this is what this is all about, the freedom that is offered to us in Christ Jesus. Freedom for all who look to Jesus by faith as Christus Victor. My prayer is that you would not leave here today without having been set free by looking to Him and putting your faith and your hope in Him alone. Would you join me in prayer? Oh, Lord Jesus, this is the most triumphant, powerful, joyful declaration that we could ever make. What a name, Christus Victor. It's not a name that we use very often, but it is such a powerful name because You are the victor. You have won. The battle is over. And although this world has not yet seen the full measure of the redemption that You have brought, and although Satan still roams this earth and still has some level of authority, and although sin is still present, and in fact, as Christians, we still battle against sin, and sometimes we give in to sin, that does not change the fact by any means that You have won and defeated all of these. And death, as a result of sin, is still present right now in this world, but there is a promise that we look forward to, that one day our Lord Jesus is going to return. And at the time of His return, not only will Satan and sin be defeated, death itself will be defeated. We will rise victorious. We will be the victors at that point in our glorified bodies, in our eternal bodies. And we will enter into paradise renewed, into that new heaven and the new earth. And Your promise given all the way back in Genesis chapter 3 will be completely fulfilled forever. And so we leave here today in the joy of this knowledge. My prayer is that we will leave here not only knowing this, but celebrating this, and not only celebrating this, but wanting to tell others about this. So thankful for Judy's testimony and for Tom's testimony this morning. We see their love for Jesus there. We see how you have faithfully walked with them. And how even now, even in spite of physical challenges or other challenges that we live, there is a joy because there is victory in Christ Jesus. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We ascribe to your name splendor and power. It's in the precious, powerful, victorious name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.